ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Texts 1 to 4 of chapter 16 of canto 8. The fourth verse is written here. The first three verses don't have purports given to them by Srila Prabhupada, so I'll chant the fourth verse and later go back to the first one. Apyabhadrang na vipranam Bhadre loke dhunagatam Na dharmasya na lokasya Mrityo chandanu vartinaha. So I'll give the translation of the three verses before this, which Srila Prabhupada has not given purports to. Shukdev Goswami said, O king, when Aditi's sons, the demigods, had thus disappeared from heaven and the demons had occupied their places, Aditi began lamenting as if she had no protector. After many, many days, the great powerful sage Kashyapa Muni arose from a trance of meditation and returned home to see the ashram of Aditi, neither jubilant nor festive. O best of the Kurus, when Kashyap Muni had been properly received and welcomed, he took his seat and then spoke as follows to his wife Aditi, who was very morose. So the verse that we've chanted today, the translation of this is as follows. It is Kashyap speaking to Aditi. O most gentle one, I wonder whether anything inauspicious has now taken place in regard to religious principles, the brahmanas, or the people in general, who are subject to the whims of death. Purport. There are prescribed duties for all the inhabitants of this material world, especially for the brahmanas, but also for the people in general, who are subject to the whims of death. Kashyapa Muni wondered whether the regulated principles which are meant for the well-being of everyone had been disobeyed. He accordingly continued his inquiries for seven verses. Although in this verse, Kashyapa Muni mentions several principles regarding which something inauspicious might have happened, namely religious principles, the brahmanas, and the people in general who are subject to the whims of death, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has specifically commented on the point of the prescribed duties, which Srila Prabhupada comments are meant for the well-being of everyone. So I'm going to talk about prescribed duties, or as Srila Prabhupada often use the term rules and regulations. Prescribed duties he often used in relation to varnashram rules, and rules and regulations in relation to the rules of devotional service. As we will see from this section of Bhagavatam, this chapter is titled The Payavrata Process of Worship. Vedic culture is one of many rules. Freedom of the individual is not something that is at the forefront of Vedic culture. Rather, that everyone is bound by rules. Anyway, we're bound. We're bound in the material world. We're bound by birth, death, old age, and disease. We're bound by the three modes of material nature. So the rules are meant for the well-being of everyone. These are the rules that help us to live in this world and at least not become degraded and eventually to become liberated from the material condition. So as we'll see in this narration, there are many rules to be followed in this process, the payavrata, which means the milk vow. And these following of these rules bestows upon the performer great power to attain some boon which by which they're able to do something or attain something which is extraordinary, which they could not get by not following the rules. Now, of course, in devotional service, we understand that we are relying on the mercy of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. But by the mercy of Krishna, he has given us the rules and regulations by which we can advance in devotional service. It's his mercy that he's given us various rules and regulations, which may be for a payavrata, or maybe for any number. So many different vows are there, or daily rules of life. But there are specific rules of devotional service that if they are followed, they help us to be Krishna conscious. That's why the rules are given. They help us to become established in Krishna consciousness, become fixed in Krishna consciousness, help us to advance in Krishna consciousness, or at least to maintain our position and not fall down. So for maintaining spiritual strength and making advancement, these rules are needed. As Srila Prabhupada often said, Krishna consciousness is a science, especially the process of reviving our dormant Krishna consciousness. Those who are on the platform of pure devotional service, especially those who are in the spiritual world, especially in the Vrindavan portion of the spiritual world, they're not much fixated on rules and regulations, which are prominent in the Vaikuntha section and are required for devotees in the material world, in Devi Dham, those who want to become free from the rules of material life, which are birth, death, old age, and disease, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik, klesh. Those who desire to be free from this, they're given a process. So this is a science. A science, in the classic understanding, means that we can predict a result. We understand the process, and if we duplicate the process, then we can get the same result as the person who proposes that this is a scientific principle that he's discovered. He should be able to demonstrate that, and others should be able to duplicate it. So that's the science. Very simple example. If we leave our cell phone on in class and it goes off, then you'll get asked to turn it off. Kindly turn off your cell phone if it's still on. The example I was going to give, which is that if we react, or if we mix an acid with an alkali, then there'll be a reaction, and a salt and water will be formed. Very basic chemistry, and it's about all I can remember of those years and years of chemistry classes. Makes me sound scientific. So it's predictable. So if one follows the rules and regulations of devotional service, it is predictable that one will become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Of course, the rules and regulations are not only about procedures. There are procedures such as rising early, chanting the holy names of the Lord a prescribed number of times. But as Srila Prabhupada noted, advancement, or he informed us, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So if our attitude is full of desire to be Krishna conscious, then we'll advance more quickly than those who don't, whose desires are mixed. Or if we're offensive, then even if we follow the process, if we make offenses, then our advancement will be impaired. Or if we're very offensive, then we may fall away from devotional service altogether. So it's a more subtle science than mixing chemicals. Nevertheless, it's a science, and there are various procedures which are given to us, such as chanting the holy names, hearing the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, all these processes, rising early. So these procedures, they bring us into contact with Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada noted in one place, that all the rules and regulations, they are based around hearing and chanting about Krishna. And of course also serving Krishna in various ways. Many of the rules are connected with deity worship. So, by coming in contact with Krishna, we become Krishna conscious. That's the point. To become conscious of Krishna. In the material condition, we're not conscious of Krishna, not directly conscious of Krishna. In one sense, we cannot but be conscious of Krishna, because everything is Krishna, in one sense. Everything is in this world is an expansion of Krishna's energy. But we're not conscious that it is Krishna. Just like an ant may be crawling on our body. That doesn't happen very much probably in this country, but in India and other tropical countries, it's quite common that you'll feel something crawling around and you look and see there's a little ant there. So the ant is on the body of a human, so he's quite conscious, he's aware that he's crawling, and he's conscious of the surface that he's crawling on, but he's not conscious that it is a human being. And it would be very difficult to inform him what a human being is, because the human is of such a different category to the ant, and his sensory perception and intelligence is very limited. So in the same way, we cannot be separate from Krishna, but at the same time, unless we are imbued with the extraordinary mercy of Krishna, we're not Krishna conscious. We're not conscious that Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is outside and inside. Bahya Nrisimha, Hridaye Nrisimha. He's inside and outside of everything. And that we are his eternal servants. So these rules and regulations, they bring us into contact with Krishna and help us to, in this way, directly in contact. They remind us, just like rising early and going to Mangalarti, having kirtan. So this, immediately, the beginning of the day, that inspires us with Krishna consciousness. Whereas if we simply sleep, then we don't remember Krishna. If we rise, then we remember Krishna. If we rise and go to Mangalarti, because many people rise early in the morning and go to work, they don't remember Krishna. But those who rise early and who Srimad Bhagavata Sararatam Ashvado Rasikai Saha, those who relish the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, then they are enriched in Krishna consciousness. They come in by following the rules which bring us in contact with that process which brings us in contact with Krishna. So we should follow these. We'll find, especially if we read Srila Prabhupada's letters, we'll find that Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized these basic processes again and again and again. they're basic. That doesn't mean that they are something low. To chant Hare Krishna and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not something low. It's the, after many millions of lifetimes, one may, of advancement in following Vedic principles, one may come to this process. So we shouldn't think it's something very low. Of course, we may say that the gopis of Vrindavan, we don't hear about them going to Mangalarti. Well, they're there, but they're on that side, not on this side. Where there's Radha and Krishna, they are there. But it's also worth considering that we aspire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan and not to imitate them. So they came as the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially Rupa Goswami, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he codified all these instructions, including brushing your teeth. It's right there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, among the rules and regulations, to brush your teeth. It's not spiritual in itself. It's not that everyone, just by brushing their teeth, they get spiritually advanced. But if we do so as within the process of Krishna consciousness, with the idea that we have to serve Krishna with this body, and so we have to maintain the body, and this is a basic practice for maintaining the body, then everything we do, even if it's something which everyone does, even the demons may do, then that becomes spiritualized and Krishnaized. We shouldn't think that simply brushing our teeth will make us Krishna conscious, but there are other processes also. We may say, well, I'm following at least one of the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the more important instructions are there concerning hearing and chanting, and many rules we'll find that, for instance, one major rule, asat sanga tyag e vaishnavacha, one should give up association with non-devotees. That includes watching TV, watching mundane things, becoming involved in mundane activities which have nothing clearly related with Krishna consciousness, eating food which is not offered and not offerable to Krishna. Not offerable includes all vegetarian food which is prepared by non-devotees. So we may think, well, why be so strict in following all these things? Because the rules are given to help us advance, and as much as we follow them, that will help us to advance. And as much as we are slack with them, that will tend to impede our advancement. And traditionally, Vaishnavas were very strict about, especially these rules of eating. They're very strict. So, as Srila Prabhupada said again, we should take a vow to take only Krishna prasadam. It's a rule, but it's an important rule, because bishayer anna khaile malin hai man, man malin hoile nahe Krishna smara, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that if we eat the food offered by materialists, then the mind will become dirty. And if the mind is dirty, then we cannot remember Krishna. So we should carefully follow these rules and regulations, beginning with rising early. Of course, there may be some exceptions. Or if we're coming very late at night from a preaching engagement, or if we're working in a job that requires us to come back late at night, we may have to make some adjustment. Maybe the better adjustment would be not to work in a job that makes us come in late at night, if we can avoid that, to put our Krishna consciousness first. Although in the modern civilization, which Srila Prabhupada said, modern civilization is based on constant hard work. So it can be very difficult to lead our lives in a way that is actually conducive for Krishna consciousness, but at least the framework is there, and we should try to follow that as far as possible. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also wanted to set up varnashram communities in which devotees could live without constant hard work. and they could live together and chant Hare Krishna. So these rules and regulations, we should be aware of them. They do have extraordinary power. Krishna consciousness is the most extraordinary undertaking for the conditioned soul, even more than the yogis who perform austerities and they attain extraordinary powers, but they remain tied up within the three modes of material nature. But devotees, although they may seem to be, even in the estimation of many people, foolish, they may appear to be foolish. What are they doing? Such funny things, singing and dancing. Happy means they should be foolish, because only people who are really getting on in life, they're very serious and they don't smile because they're busy working. So devotees, they may appear to be foolish sentimentalists, but by this singing and dancing and dedicating their life to Krishna, they attain a boon which is far greater than the materialist can even think of. They cannot even imagine it. Even the yogis, they're so much interested in getting some power to do something which is of actually no particular use to them or anyone else. They do not have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. So it's a great boon for which most people, especially in this age, are completely unqualified. We can remember that also. It's only by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which we have received through Srila Prabhupada, that we are in devotional service. What is our qualification? Practically our disqualification is our qualification. Patita pavana hetu tava avata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save the most fallen. So to come out of the position of being most fallen, we can take advantage of the system of devotional service given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami, through all the previous acharyas, through Srila Prabhupada. So if we follow these basic principles, then we can become strong. So to be a devotee means he has to lead a different life to others, not the same as everyone else. There's some idea that, well, if we're normal, people will accept us better. That's true, but with the exception of the most important people, namely Krishna and his devotees. Krishna will accept us if we're not like materialists. If we are like materialists, then materialists won't bother about us at all. And they won't dislike us. But there's no great advantage in particularly trying to be normal. We should try to please Krishna. So Krishna has given us a process by which we can please him by hearing and chanting about him, by dedicating our life to him, by taking only food which is offered to him, which is a sign of great submission. People outside of Vedic culture, they become horrified if they see someone taking the scraps of food from someone else. But in Vedic culture, that is enjoined to do that as a sign of submission. The disciple takes remnants from the guru. The wife feeds her husband and takes the remnants. It's a sign of submission. So a devotee takes Krishna prasad. He'll only take that which is first eaten by Krishna. So if one follows these basics, then one can gradually become strong and advance in devotional service. So every devotee requires to follow these, because these are basic rules. We shouldn't think that they're dispensable rules. Basic means you develop a base and then you build on that. Just like the basic principles of mathematics. The basics is arithmetic. So that's the first thing you learn. And when you're at university level, you don't study arithmetic. It's just taken for granted. But if you don't violate the rules of arithmetic, you still have to use them. If you think that, okay, now I'm very advanced in mathematics, so now in my calculations I can do something else. 2 + 2 = 5. Then all your theoretical knowledge becomes all messed up. Your calculations become messed up. So basic rules means they're always to be followed. One may become more advanced, but actually even very advanced devotees, they will naturally like to follow all the rules and regulations, maybe from a different perspective, or from a different level of consciousness is better. One who's trying to be Krishna conscious, he follows the rules and regulations of hearing and chanting and only taking Krishna prasadam, because they're rules which he knows will help him to advance. And an advanced devotee does them because he's relishing Krishna consciousness and he doesn't want to do anything else. So the rules and regulations, they don't in and of themselves constitute Krishna consciousness, but they are indispensable for the neophyte, and then naturally followed by the more advanced devotees. And even though more advanced devotees, for the sake of maintaining their own Krishna consciousness, they may not need to follow so strictly so many rules, but they may do so also to teach, to set a good example for others. Apane achare Prabhu jibereshika. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught all the jivas how to practice Krishna consciousness by practicing it himself. So everyone can follow all these rules as much as possible. And again, the rules don't in and of themselves constitute Krishna consciousness. There may be some adjustment according to our circumstances, but as far as possible, if we try to follow them, that will help us very much, which is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas have given these rules. Another point is that we're told to do it. A rule means it's a rule, we're told to do it, so we follow the superior. In this way, we can develop taste in Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, I'm just keep it short, basic. And if there are any questions, yes, please.
Maharaj, thank you for a very nice class. Although there are, given that there are various rules of the process of Krishna consciousness, can these rules be applied differently according to time and circumstance?
Can these rules be applied differently according to time, place, and circumstance? Is there a hierarchy of rules? Well, the only rule which a devotee should never violate under any circumstances, which we do all the time, but we attempt to come to that platform, is it's a rule in two parts. That's smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya najatuchit. Always think of Krishna, never forget him. Saravidhi nishedasya etayo eva kinkaraha. All the other rules are servants of this rule. So if you always think of Krishna, then we don't have to follow any other rule. And an example of that is Vamsidas Babaji, who did follow some of his own rules, but he's not someone to be imitated. But he always thought of Krishna. But all the rules are meant to serve this rule, to help us come to this. So other rules, how many rounds should you chant? Well, Srila Prabhupada gave us minimum 16. We don't find any description of the gopis in Vrindavan, how many rounds they chant. They chant any rounds? I never heard of them chanting any rounds. So on that platform, on that plane, chanting of rounds may not be there. Although when they come to this plane in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they do chant. Eating meat, well, there is an example. There was an instance when Hare Krishna Maharaj wanted, or he didn't want to go, that was the point. Srila Prabhupada wanted to send him to Russia to preach, and he didn't want to go, so he had so many excuses, and his final excuse was, there's nothing to eat there except meat. And then Srila Prabhupada said, well, eat meat and go and, if you have to, but preach, go there and preach. Although Srila Prabhupada himself said that, I'd rather die than eat meat. So, theoretically, any rule could be broken, but that doesn't mean that we look for opportunities to, let's see, there's this rule, let's see how I can get away with breaking it and still be Krishna conscious. That shouldn't be our opportunity. Application according to time, place and circumstance, that may be there. But still, the rule is there, which means it's the principle, not that it's something to be, that we deliberately try to adjust. We try to follow it as far as possible, and some adjustment may be there. What is the difference between Bhadra and Abhadra when a devotee is engaged in spiritual activity? Bhadra, Srila Prabhupada has translated this here, it's a form of address that Kashyapa used for his wife. Bhadra means gentle. That's how Srila Prabhupada translated it here. Oh, gentle, almost gentle Aditi. Gentle, cultured, well-behaved. Well, if one is engaging in spiritual activity, then it's always Bhadra, auspicious. It might be killing, as in the case of Arjuna. He had to kill for Krishna. That's not applicable to us. He was thinking killing was abhadra, but it was auspicious because it was ordered by Krishna. So there's no question of inauspiciousness in serving Krishna. If we're actually serving Krishna under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra with the intent to please Krishna, then it must be auspicious. No inauspiciousness. Payavrata is the, it means a milk vow. This is, it will be described in this chapter that the performer has to subsist by drinking milk only for some time. And there are other things to follow also. And by doing this, she was going to get some, Aditi was going to get the, boon by which she would fulfill her desire. Yeah.
Maharaj, if someone is not following a rule and regulation, for example, no intoxication, to what extent is it bona fide to advise that person to reduce with a view to giving up, or should it just be give up? Should devotees advise?
If someone is taking intoxication, should a devotee advise them to give it up?
Gradually reduce?
Well, it's a very general question. You have to see the, deshkal and patra. Patra means the person concerned, and see what is their situation. You can advise give it up immediately. If they don't, you can advise give it up gradually. Yeah.
But well, thank you for bringing up the important stuff here. One observation is that devotees do follow rules quite strictly, or at least they try to follow rules for a while, for a few years. And then it seems like the tendency is to go back to the previous conditioning, and it looks like the obstacle or the main hurdle is familiarity, which is perfect. And of course, rules, as you explained, they free us from the miseries. But then devotees, apparently, because they cannot find, they don't get the higher taste, they tend to go to the lower taste again. So, what would be the best?
You're talking about a syndrome that you've observed of devotees. They take up devotional service strictly, follow strictly for some time, and then after some time, they again become lax. So, what do I advise? Well, there could be many forms of advice. One is that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish. Well, one thing is to talk about it, just like I'm talking about it now. If we become aware of a problem, and we become aware of then we can start to address it. If we become aware of the value of rules and regulations, then we become serious about it. And if we don't regularly hear about it, then we may not maintain our seriousness. So it's important to go on emphasizing these points, at least time to time. With arithmetic, for the mathematician, you may not need to have a refresher course for the in the university, refresher course on 12 times 12 equals 144, and so you may not need that, but for devotees, and time to time we need refresher courses. To remind us what are the importance of these rules. One point is that devotees, they do tend to get sucked in by the whole materialistic atmosphere around us. So if we have these communities, where everyone lives together, then that makes the community strength in numbers. Sanghe Shakti Kalo Yuge. In Kali Yuga, strength comes from association. So that should help. There's something like a community around the manor, although it's voluntary participation. A lot of responsibility lies on those who are seen as leaders. If they set a good example, then others will be more inspired to follow. If they don't, then others may think, well, the advanced devotees don't do it, so why should I do it? You can be advanced without following all these things. So they're all in class today, all the leaders. Well, I was speaking generically. I wasn't pointing any fingers in particular. I really don't know much what's going on in this temple because I don't live here anymore, not for the last 30 odd years. So, yeah, as we go up in devotional service, or up at least as our years go on, then it becomes maybe more important for us to follow all these things. The understanding that now others are looking at me. What example can I set for them? Then, anything else? Yeah.
There are certain devotees, they want to be leader. They're good as well.
Oh, now we're branching out into other questions. People have a propensity as leader, but they're not much inclined to follow the process of devotional service. Well, in a spiritual society, a leader should be a spiritual leader. People may have skills in management and this and that. So that can be engaged, but that always has to be guided ultimately by, or from the spiritual platform. So the Vedic system is, Varnashram system is, that persons who are good in administration and leadership, one quality of a kshatriya, an inborn quality is Ishvara Bhav. He has the mood of being a controller. So the kshatriyas, they should be guided by brahmanas. So if people have good skills and leadership, which they want to engage in Krishna's service, then they may be engaged under the leadership of, under the guidance of persons who are very spiritually strong. This is a general answer. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.